Hi, I'm Mike Martindale, pastor here at the Heights Fellowship. We are so glad that you guys have joined us today. We know that online isn't a replacement for the real thing, but we hope that as you listen to this message, that the Spirit of God would still move in your life. Thank you for listening.
Well, good morning. It's good to see you. It's been good to worship this morning. Amen? What a great job from the worship team, and thank you. Thanks for allowing me to be here. Mike is just a great friend of mine. We go way back with Super Summer. We've been good friends for a long, long time. And I just want to affirm you that you have a great pastor that leads you. And you are so blessed to have him and his family. So thank you, Mike, for allowing me to be here. What a great time. And I do have some explaining to do. I realize that Mike has already set me up this morning to explain of why I'm wearing purple this morning and not wearing red and black as far as Texas Tech goes. But A couple years back, Baylen played for Tech, and so we were avid Tech fans. I was actually born in Lubbock, and my family grew up in Lubbock, and so Texas Tech has been through our blood, and red and black has been through. As a matter of fact, I have a huge wardrobe of red and black, but it's funny how things change. Not that I'm not a Tech fan, because I'm still a diehard Tech fan, but now I have a son playing for TCU, and so I know you may ask me to leave, but that's okay. So we have gone to a little bit of purple and white and done that. So excuse me, I've kind of got into purple mode here a little bit lately, but I'm still a diehard Texas Tech fan. Amen? So I had to explain that before I get started so you won't hold it against me. All right. Well, as I was preparing for this morning's message, a story came to mind that really helps us set up this morning's message and get ready for it. When I was a youth pastor probably early 90s, we were a youth pastor in Beaumont, Texas. And while we were in Beaumont, Brady, our oldest, was about 5 or 6. I'm not sure how old he was. Baylen had been born, and we were there. And we had gone over to some of our youth workers' home who had youth in our ministry, and we went there to have a fellowship. And so everything was going perfectly fine during this fellowship as we began to do what we do at youth fellowships, and most of that is eating. And we began to get all this to kind of gather around, and we were in me and my wife were in the kitchen just talking and minding our own business like we were supposed to. And all of a sudden, we hear this huge crash. And as a youth pastor, when you hear a crash, things go through your mind. You think of all the possibilities that could have taken place. We're in a guest home. Which one of our youth has broken something, and we're going to have to recover? What is going on? So these thoughts are going through my mind as we hear this crash take place, not knowing what had taken place. And then about that very instant, turning the corner, coming down the hallway full speed, is my oldest son, Brady. And as he's running down the hallway, I can just imagine my thoughts in my head where whatever just happened has something to do with my son. Because he's coming down the hallway, he's running to us, and he comes and he grabs us, and my wife is there, and our first thought is, oh my goodness, what has he broken? And my first thought is, how are we going to explain this to the home, the people who are hosting us? What is going on? How are we going to fix this whole thing? What in the world are we going to do? Because I'm a parent, and I'm already beginning to prepare my mind how I'm going to cover this up, how I'm going to make this look the best that it can look and get out of the situation, and everything's going to be okay at that point. I had no idea what had happened. Well, here's what had happened. They were out in the front yard doing something, playing something, and I guess Brady said something, did something, which caused one of our kids in our youth ministry to take off and chase him or something like that. Well, Brady took off for the house, and he knew that we were inside, and he made a beeline for the front door, not realizing that the front door was a glass door. And Brady never skipped a beat. He didn't slow down. He didn't stop. He didn't do anything. He went 100 miles an hour right through that glass door. And that's what the burst was. That's what the crash was. And I thought, oh, my gosh. And then so here comes behind them Okay, all the tattlers, you know, the ones probably who were chasing him thinking, oh, man, we were chasing him. It's probably our fault that he went through the door, but we got to figure out how to blame it on Brady so he gets in trouble and not us. And so they come and say, Brady ran through the front glass door. And that, you know, that very instant as a parent in your mind, how are we going to get out of this one? What are we going to do? Well, long story short, everything worked out fine. But still to this day, when I see some of those youth from those days, early 90s, they still talk about Brady running through the glass door. But have you ever had that feeling in your, especially as parents, when you know that your kids have done something that they're not supposed to do, and all of a sudden you try to think of, oh my goodness, how are we going to get through this? And as a parent, you get very protective. Amen? You get very protective. Now, when we got home, we probably had a little talk about what happened, okay? But at the moment, you thought, okay, we're going to be okay. And you become protective of your children, and you find out what's going on, and you try to make everything good. So, I'm sorry that happened. We'll see what we can do to recover the door and everything else. And you kind of make everything good. And so, you're very protective of your children because you want this situation to work out just fine. Now, I'll never forget that day because it was a disaster. You know, and you realize he's got these little pieces in his forehead of glass, and you realize what's happened at that point. But to this point that I know of, our children have not run through any more glass doors. Amen? And so, but it kind of helps us set up this morning for what we want to talk about, and that is protecting our heart and guarding our heart and opening up there, because as parents, we have the natural tendency to protect our children from the things that are around, the things that could harm them, the things that could get in their way. We have that natural thing, not only for our children, for maybe our spouses or for our family members or even for each other in the body of Christ. And so this morning, we realize in this scripture that we're going to talk about this morning, that it becomes the priority of our life to protect our heart. We must take it very seriously, because it touches everything about us. It says what we talk about, it changes what we're going to talk about today, actually could change the trajectory of our life when we understand what God is clearly speaking in this one short sentence in the scripture that we're about to read together, Proverbs 4:23. And as we read it together, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And so it makes us begin to examine the scripture, because when you look at the scripture, very seldom in scripture do we see a verse begin in the way this verse begins, where it says, above all else. So what he's saying is, before anything else, be sure that you guard your heart. Well, we can understand the above all else, but when it says to guard your heart, that's where we need to camp out today. And I just want to be a teacher for you today to help you understand what the scripture is teaching us and help us to raise the priority of this in our lives. Because let's be honest this morning, there's not one of us here in this room that at moments in time where we struggle in this area of our lives because we get distracted, we get torn another way, and we get busy. And we get stressed and we begin to get focused on things other than the Lord. And so let's talk about this morning and view this together. Because number one, it becomes the priority heart. What is the priority of our hearts? Well, from a worldly standpoint, our definition of a heart simply goes back to the Greeks. And the Greeks defined it as anthropologic dualism. I know that's a fancy word, but what that means is that we very easily define our heart. If we were asked, would you define the heart? Not the organ, the heart, but metaphorically, the heart, and the way God is talking is this, is that in that is a sense of feeling, and there's also a sense of emotion. A sense of reality and a sense of emotion. So when you began to define it that way, the Greeks began to define it, and they said it was a battle that was taking place there. It was a battle going on between the head and the heart, reality and what we feel. And there was this constant battle going on to see which side would win. Do we live in reality, or do our emotions begin to sway us into decisions that maybe we don't necessarily know are perfectly right, but we get stuck there and this battle begins to take place? In our minds, it's easy for us to define the heart that way. But let's look this morning at exactly what Scripture defines this, what's going on within the heart. Did you know that the heart is referred to in the Scripture 601 times in Scripture? 601 times. I didn't look up all those for you, but they're there, 601 times. And actually, in the book of Proverbs itself, we see it mentioned over 97 times in just the book of Proverbs. So it raises the awareness, and it begs us to ask this question, well, then how does Scripture define this for us? If it's so much attention drawn to the heart over 601 times, so how does the Bible describe it for us? What we're going to do this morning is to break it down into four different categories when we begin to prioritize the heart. The first one being, four categories for Scripture says, is that we have, the heart has an intellectual capacity. So what does that mean? If the heart has an intellectual capacity, meaning the heart has the ability to ponder, the heart has the ability to debate, the heart has the ability to think, to consider, to understand, the whole being, the heart has the ability to comprehend and to understand, and the ability to remember. It has that intellectual ability. When we understand that concept, it allows us to begin to understand when God said, guard your heart. The second capacity of the heart is that emotional capacity. Your heart's able to know joy, to know sorrow, to know anxiety, to know despair, anguish, lust, deceit, envy. It understands that it's an emotional, and that's the way God created it to be. It's not only intellectual, but it's emotional. But it also has a volitional capacity. What does that mean? Your heart has the ability to understand. It has the ability to decide. It has that ability. It has the ability to give you direction. Matthew 6 says, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. It has that volitional, the able to decide. And then also, lastly, it has the moral capacity. The heart has a moral capacity, gentle, holy, faithful, pure, hardened, deceitful, perverse. It has the ability to house all of those things, the four capacities of the heart, intellectual, emotional, the volitional, be able to decide. The moral capacity of the heart begins to come, and the heart frames your existence. In Mark 7, look what it says. It gives us pure definition of what we just talked about. In Mark chapter 7, it says, for from within, out of a person's heart, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these vile things come from within. So here's what we do, knowing all of those things. We have this protective mechanism within us that we want to protect. It's that in us. Let me give you an example this morning. We have about four or five different passwords that we use to protect our bank accounts. Sometimes we forget them, amen? We have that. We have mechanisms in place. How many of you locked your car before you came in this morning? Don't raise your hand because now we know who you are. How many of you probably locked your house when you left? Maybe you've been secured a security system before you left because you're protecting those things that you value. You're protecting that, making sure that you protect it, that nobody can get to it. You have that mechanism with us that we protect our children. We gather them around us and we do everything that we can do to protect them. There is that protective mechanism within us where it comes to the intellectual, emotional, volitional, and the moral capacity of our heart to be protective and to make sure all of those things are going to be okay. Just like it is, we transfer over and God says, above all else, protect and guard your heart. Well, how do we do that? In order to do that this morning, we need to understand a couple of things. I'm going to equip you this morning to do two things. First of all, we see that, again, we're reminded there that First Peter, but the heart is under attack. But if we were going to guard our hearts, then look at 1 Peter 5:8 this morning, where it says, stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil, for he prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. So what is your enemy going to attack?
His first target is your heart. Your heart. Ananias, who's an upstanding member of his church, looked upon as one of the foundations of the ministry, began to sway away from the Lord. And he began to lie and began to cheat and fall away from this. And in Acts 3, it's very evident to us in what takes place here, because Peter even calls him out, one of the strongest men in his church who had began to waver from that. And he says, Peter says to him, he says, why have you let Satan fill your heart? And I wonder how he responds. Because if you don't focus on your heart, Satan will. He will attack the core of your being, the core of your convictions. He can't read your thoughts, and he can't get in unless you let him in. So this morning, the two areas that I want you to look at this morning, is take it very seriously, two things. You must guard your heart from certain things, and you must guard your heart with certain things. So let me help you understand that this morning, where we actually become real this morning, where the message becomes real for every one of us, because we have to begin to really evaluate how we are living our lives. So if we talk about the things that we take seriously, that guard our hearts from certain things, look what Proverbs 4:24 says. Proverbs 4:24 this morning says, put away perversity from your mouth and keep corrupt talk from your lips. Ears. What that saying this morning is, stay away from things that you don't need to hear. Guard yourself from the things that you know that you don't need to hear, the corrupt talk that's going on around you. Don't involve yourself in the gossip that is going on around you. Protect your ears, because what you let come into your ears eventually is going to stay there. And in some way, it's going to come out. And we also comment on ourselves. We say, you know what, Andy, you know, that doesn't really apply to me, because I'm able to overcome that. You know, that doesn't bother me. I'm able to kind of decipher and know that what I need to know, what else. Let me ask you the question this morning, because a lot of times what we let come in, what we allow to come through our ears, kind of indwells itself in our head, and it comes out in some of the spots of our lives. Let me give you an example this morning. What happens if it comes out when you're in the car by yourself and somebody runs a stop sign in front of you? The things that come out of your mouth may give an evidence of where your heart is. It's when you get in a disagreement with your spouse. And in the heat of the moment, you say things that you probably normally would not say, but they were hidden in your heart, because you've allowed these things to infiltrate your heart. It sinks into your heart, and it changes your heart and values, and it begins to do that. It will come out. In Luke chapter 6, verse 45, it says this, the good person out of a good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning, guard your ears. Guard what comes in. Be careful what comes in. Moms and dads, be careful what you allow your children to hear and what you expose your children. It comes very easy. In this next point that we're going to make, we're really going to talk about where it really comes home for us, because in Proverbs 4:25, it says, look straight ahead. Fix your eyes on what lies before. And what that's saying this morning for us is that not only do we protect what comes to our ears, but we protect what our eyes are allowed to see. It says, look straight ahead. Why do you think it says that this morning? It says because when we look straight ahead and we have our eye on the prize of what God has intended for us to do, he says, look straight ahead, because the distractions that are around you is what you don't want to entertain your eyes to. So allow yourself to be tempted from the things around you. So Scripture says clearly, focus your eyes on what is ahead. Look straight ahead. Keep focus so that you're not distracted by the things of the world. When we began to do that, what we began to do is to understand what those things are that the enemy has put out there in front of us. The TV shows that we watch. And again, this morning, I'm not being legalistic, I'm just speaking wisdom. What we allow our children to watch, what we watch, oh, that'll be okay. What movies we go see, the things that we do. And can I hit the big one this morning? Social media for us. What we allow ourselves to entertain in social media. What do we do to protect our children from the things that they don't need to see from social media? Because we know that once they enter in, once we see them, once we hear them, automatically the battle begins to take place and that war begins. And does the head win or does the heart win? And if the heart's not in the right place, it will make the choice that does not honor God. But when we guard our hearts and protect our hearts, God wins. And we overcome that temptation. You see, it's not only the eyes and the ears, but it's also the places that we allow ourselves to go. The places that maybe we know that we don't need to be at, and so we make the decision not to go. The things that we go and places that we go are a big, huge deal, especially for our children and where we allow them to go and the things that we allow them to do. When we guard our hearts as parents, we're able to make those decisions without question because we know that the decisions that we are making are honoring God. Amen? So this morning as we look at that, it reedifies it in Matthew 6. It says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy and your body will be full of light, but if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. Look straight ahead, not to the right, not to the left, for the things that are around you can take us off course. So some things that we should do, some things that we look at. Here's what I love. Proverbs 4:26. Ponder the path of your feet. Then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left and turn away from evil. All right. Let me see how many men are in tune to my next statement. You can finish my statement. Are you ready? Here we go. The best defense is a good what? Yes, okay. The best defense is a good offense. I told you this morning what you need to be against and how you set up the defense, how you be able to get to the place, okay, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that because we know that that's not going to be glorifying to God in making that decision. So we're going to really be good and have a good defense. But in order to have a good defense, we must have a good offense. So what do we equip ourselves with and how do we do that? How do we get to that place? Well, here's what we must do. And one of the things that you can do is that you're already doing it right now. Did you realize that? One of the things that you're doing to build that, to build your offense so that you can come against the enemy when he comes to steal, kill, and destroy is what you're doing right now, sitting in the presence of God in this church this morning. What you said when you woke up this morning and you had a lot of decisions to make, okay? You came to church this morning because you know by being here that the word of God was going to be spoken, and in that worship time, you were going to be filled and you were going to be equipped so when you walk out the doors today, your heart is even better and ready to face the world that's going to be with you all week long. You took step one. By being here this morning, you have created a good offense. The second thing that can happen is that you have a daily time where you decide that I'm going to spend some time with God today. I'm going to spend time in scripture. I'm going to spend time with him in prayer, and we're going to get our things together, get all of our tools together that we need, and maybe there's some things going on in your life. God, would you help me overcome this? Would you help me deal with this situation? What's the best? We spend time with him so that we can build an offense that is ready to face life. And the third thing this morning is, God says one of the greatest ways that you can equip yourselves is by being able to serve. To go out and to serve. Because the thing that we say is that, God, I want to be more like you every day because, God, you asked me to be more like you, to be more like Jesus every day. And so I want to be a servant because what did Jesus do? He humbled himself as a servant because he knew it honored his Father. And he humbled himself as a servant. So when we serve, God is equipping. He's building you up. He's letting you go through circumstances and temptations. And he builds you up by the work that you do because he teaches you the value of what it means to serve people. And it builds your character. It builds your heart and gets you to that place. And the last thing this morning, what he does, he says what you need to do is those things in your life that stir you up, like, I love to do that. Go do it and let it glorify and honor God. Be a part of your passions. Let God direct your passions. Not every one of us can get up on a stage and lead worship. If I had that, we'd all leave if I was up here. But let God use your giftedness and honor it to God and let him use it and let him build you up and give you the strength that you need to go on day by day. So by being here this morning and being a part of worship and filling our hearts with the message and the worship this morning, and then having that special time with him every day, at the same time going out and serving and then doing what God has called us to do. In Scripture, it says the priority is that you guard your heart above all else. Lastly, this morning, how do we do that? So what he says this morning is this: to guard your heart. What is the potential of your heart? I'm going to ask the guitar to come up. What is the potential of your heart? You see, Andy, it's really easy this morning to talk about these things. What do I need to guard my heart against, and what do I need to guard my heart with? But in doing that, what's the potential of my heart? Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Because when our hearts are in tune to the Lord, so it's like a wellspring. And that spring begins to bubble up out of the ground. And it begins to overflow. And in the overflow of what God's doing in our life, everything changes around us. When our hearts are guarded and God is in the middle of it, our families begin to be focused on the Lord. When our hearts are guarded and they're in tune with God, our marriages become stronger. When our hearts are guarded and tuned with God, our children understand. Those around us know that we're following Jesus. And they see a light in a dark world. And we do that, the enemy has no place to come and to steal and to kill and to destroy. Because we guard our hearts. Remember what I said at the beginning? Satan sees it. You can't get in. But only if you let him in. But when your heart is guarded, he has no other choice but to flee. He has no other choice. So everything that we're compacted with this morning, we're combated with, social media, the things that are around us, it's difficult. But can I ask you, church, above all else, guard your heart. Let him lead you. Focus, focus, focus. Guard your heart. It's kind of like a guitar. If you take a guitar like it's being played, if you put that guitar away, you tune it. When you get out the first time, you tune it so it'll sound good, because I can never make it sound like that. But when you put it back in the box, and in the box it gets toted around, and it gets knocked around, maybe for 4 or 5 months you hadn't played it. Well, when you take that guitar out, it's probably going to be out of tune. So when you take that first strum on the guitar, it's going to sound terrible. Because for 4 or 5 months it's never been played, and it's never been tuned. So it's not going to sound like it's supposed to sound. Kind of like our lives. Put it in a guitar case, and we just don't pay attention to our relationship with Jesus for a while, and we just kind of go off and do our own thing. We get caught up in our stresses and in our busyness and all the things of life, and they kind of overwhelm us. We kind of get out of tune, and we're not in tune with what God wants for us. But what it takes is for us consciously to say, okay, God, I'm out of tune. And I want to get back on the path and begin to guard my heart. For all of us this morning, it's a challenge for all of us. But we know when Scripture says, above all else, anything, guard your heart. Focus on Jesus. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we thank you for teaching us and leading us and understanding what it means to guard your heart, what it means to understand how our heart works, and the way God created it to be, and there's this battle that has a tendency to happen because the enemy wants to take control. But in the precious name of Jesus, we come against the enemy. And God, we claim victory in our hearts. God, that our hearts would be focused on you. That in our trials and our temptations, that we would beat that. And God, that your Holy Spirit would take over and lead us in the way that we walk individually, in the way that we lead our families and our marriages and everything around us. God, would you have the glory in it all, and constantly let us guard our heart day by day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We believe in the power of the Word of God. If you made a decision, we would love to hear from you. As well, if you have any questions, let us know at the email listed at the bottom of the screen. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a good day.